Think back to when you were 29 years old. Can you remember when you were 29 years old? It's getting harder and harder, isn't it? Were you a Christian at the age of 29? Many of you grew up in the church, and I suspect the answer is yes for many of you. Well, at the age of 29, as a Christian, did you accomplish anything for the Lord that would be considered a legacy? That is what happened to a 29-year-old scholar from Bath, England. He had a very fancy name. His name was Folliot Stanford Pierpoint. Sounds like something from Downton Abbey. He studied at Queen's College in Cambridge, and then he became a teacher of the classics at Somerset College in the mid-1800s. Now, one day, a lovely spring day, he went for a walk. And what happened on that walk changed his life forever. And it blessed many, many generations to come. What happened to change his life that day? He described it later this way. He said, "I saw the ocean, and I saw the sky touching the ocean, and I saw some beautiful, interesting-looking white clouds up in the sky. And I saw a field of colorful spring flowers, all different colors. And then I heard birds, and they were singing each their own song, one to the other, recognizing their own song." And he said, "I was so moved by everything that I was experiencing and drinking in that I went home, I sat down, and I wrote a poem." And that poem became his legacy. And it's really, even though it's a poem, it's really a prayer. And it begins like this: "For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise." Now, of course, it was set to music, and it became a hymn in the Anglican church hymnals in the early 1900s. And then it found its way across the pond to America, and it was published in American hymnals in the 1930s. And it became associated in America with one of the primary hymns related to Americans' Thanksgiving Day. "Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise." Grateful praise. Giving gratitude to God is, you know this, a major theme in the Bible. It's a major calling of God on each and every one of us to give him gratitude. My favorite verse in the Bible is Colossians 3:16. I've shared that with you before. And as a matter of fact, by the way, this is why we use Colossians 3:16 as our password to get into our pictorial directory online. You know this verse well, but listen to it once again. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." I wonder how many people read that verse and miss the part about gratitude. I've lost track of how many sermons I've heard on giving thanks to God. And you're probably the same way. And perhaps one of the most overused phrases that we all know is that we should have an attitude of gratitude. Yes, we should. But one of the sad things I think of, about us is that we do just the opposite. We tend to do just the opposite. We often exhibit gratitude to God in reverse proportion to his blessings on us. It seems like the more we have, the less thankful we become, because the more we take for granted. I remember really well a visiting angel who came to help care for Elizabeth. It was this year. Her name was Ava. And Ava originally came from Mexico. And I heard a lot about her life. I enjoyed hearing a lot about her life that day. She was a mature woman. She was in her 50s or 55. Now, some would say she's a child. But she was, in her midlife. And she was a Christian. And then she shared some things about her life that struck me. She said, "When I was a little girl in Mexico, we had no running water. We had no electricity until I was 12 years old. We lived in a small house, a whole family, and it only had one window. It was located by the fireplace. That window was in our living area. We had no windows in our bedroom. Our father would not allow us to open that window. He kept it locked all the time because the neighborhood was filled with criminals, and he wanted to protect us. With no windows in our bedroom, the bedroom was totally dark with no moving air. But I slept very well." She said, "We had very little, but ironically, that is when I was the happiest in my life, because I was so grateful for what we did have." That really struck me. I could only relate to Ava in my imagination, what she was saying, because it's just so foreign to me in my life. It did make me remember when I was 12 years old, we didn't have television. We didn't have air conditioning. And I was happy until I was exposed to television at my uncle's house. And I was exposed to air conditioning in the one movie theater that we had in my hometown. And then I wanted both. And now here it is, 2020, and somehow they both seem like necessities in life. My song might be something like, "For the beauty of TV, for the glory of AC, Lord of all, to thee I raise this my hymn of grateful praise." I remember reading an historian who wrote about surviving a German concentration camp. This is another one that I can only relate to in my imagination. Excuse me just a moment. Shirley, would you mind going back to the kitchen and reminding them that we're here? They don't know. A man survived a German concentration camp, and he said that many of the prisoners in that camp at night dreamed about bread and cakes and nice warm baths and many other things that we take for granted today. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this: "If the constellations appeared only once in 1,000 years. Can you imagine what an exciting event that would be? But because they are visible nearly every day, we don't even bother to look. because we take them for granted. It's hard to keep life in perspective, but I think that the coronavirus, the pandemic, has done some of that for us. I think we do a better job of being grateful. And I think all of us could learn from Mr. Pierpoint's experience that day by the River Avon. Lord of all, to thee I raise this my hymn of grateful praise. Let me ask you this. You've heard this question many times in your life, I'm sure. And just keep the answer to yourself. But for what are you truly thankful? Are you going to share that on Thanksgiving Day with those that you gather with? We do that as a family. We share with one another something this year for which we are truly thankful. For what are you truly thankful? Or let me ask you this. For whom are you truly thankful? What are your priorities in life for which you find yourself thanking God? Now, here's what Mr. Pierpoint wrote. For the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Do you ever open your eyes and look around and realize that you are surrounded with overwhelming evidence of the perfect love of God for you? Hallelujah. 1 John 4. We love because he first loved. Psalm 86, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Romans 8, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. But it was not just God's love that inspired him to write that poem that later became our hymn. In verse 3, he added this, for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends. Friends on earth and friends above. For all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our hymn of grateful praise. Some of you probably grew up in large families. I did not. I only have one sister. Her name is Virginia. She lives in North Carolina. And she is 7 years older than I. And sadly, I came from a family that did not express love and affection to one another very well. My sister and I have talked about this frequently. I seldom saw my father express affection to my mother. And I seldom heard my father say to me, I love you. I shared that with you before. My mother showed her love and her concern to me in a variety of ways, but in my memory, she did not ever use the words, I love you. But let's get back to the thoughts of this hymn. Most of us here have experienced or are experiencing right now the joy of human love. It seems to me that those of us who are blessed to be grandparents have discovered a whole new depth of human love. I never knew that could be. Mr. Pierpoint's words are to the point. When he recognized God's gift of beauty through nature and beauty through his perfect love and beauty in the love all around us, and from our family and our friends. And then he adds this, the church. He said, for thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands to God, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. You know this, but let's say it anyway. The church is the people. The church is people. It's the people who raise their hands to God in joyful praise of his holy word and of his son, Jesus Christ. And he tells us to do that in the scriptures. It is people who bring a pure sacrifice to him. Do you remember Psalm 51? We began the Lenten season with Psalm 51, and then the Lenten season got stopped because of the pandemic. God willing, we're going to pick up Psalm 51 at the beginning of Lent in 2021. But I want to remind you of verses 16 and 17. It says, Lord, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That is what it means in this hymn when it says, her pure sacrifice of love. This hymn puts a spotlight on a number of things, and most of them are fairly easy on us. But this next one may be a bit more challenging to some folks. He tells us to give gratitude for the church, God's people, and for our calling to sacrifice self on the altar in the form of a broken and contrite heart. He even says, we are to lift our hands to God in praise and worship over a broken and contrite heart. How are you doing with that? Some of us don't even raise our hands in praise to God for the good things, much less for the cost of laying our egos and our self-preservation before God. All the things he tells us to lay at his feet. We are the church. We know what God expects of us. In its purest form, the Christian church is the best family that there is. It's truly a thing of beauty, the family of God. I'm talking about you and me. We are a thing of beauty in God's eyes. Lord of all, we praise you for the church. And then we come to the climax of this remarkable hymn. In light of everything that Mr. Pierpoint highlighted so far, this is the most important. He said, for thyself, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, for our Lord Jesus Christ. For thyself, best gift divine to our race, so freely given. For the great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Well, you know where that takes me. It takes me to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It takes me to the season of Advent, which begins, by the way, next Sunday morning. It takes me to the miracle of Christmas, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Wow! How magnificent is that? God not only gave us all this beauty, all this love from him, and from loved ones and from friends and one another in the church, but God gave us himself. God gave us himself. Say it with me. Lord of all, To thee I raise this my hymn of grateful praise. Oh my. When I think about it, this could be a hymn for Thanksgiving Sunday, for Mother's Day, for Father's Day, for Christmas Day, for memorial services. But do you know why Mr. Pierpoint wrote it? He said, I wrote it for communion services. Oh my goodness, this could be considered an all-inclusive hymn of praise. Consider just these two lines. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night. That covers it, doesn't it? That's all-inclusive. Like James said in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Say it again. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Blessed Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in light of being reminded of all that you have given and all that you are, may you open our eyes and our hearts to you once again in thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.